Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse fake.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this... I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
No.
The Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep Podcast Network post-draft pod. And believe it or not, one of us definitely does not. The Bucks used the pick. They used the 24th overall pick. They actually used two picks. They used 58-2, which was the last pick in this draft because tampering. So we're going to get into it on this immediate post-draft reaction. We got the full GSPN crew. I am Ty Windisch. My co-host, as always, the delightful Rohan Kadi, the exceptional Jordan Tresky, and the wonderful Adam McGee. Fellas, draft night is over, except for all the two-ways and stuff. How's it going?
I'm above the moon, Ty.
You had a great day.
I did.
Jordan, Adam?
Do well. Bucks cut their pick, as the title card says, below me and below Rohan. That in itself is probably the biggest surprise than of the night, more so than the player that the Bucks selected in the first round, I should say. Yeah, very, very intriguing and overall come away at least content with where the Bucks have been with this draft night.
I'm doing well. I got to experience my good friend Ron Cotty have a moment of sheer joy tonight, the joy of the kind I will never get to experience, which is seeing the Milwaukee Bucks select the prospect I want them to select on draft night. Rohan got to have that with quite some build up. We were on playback. There was an agreement made that picks weren't going to be spoiled. I was the only person who was like, yeah, I'm still looking. So I sat for 4.5 minutes as Rohan nearly lost his mind, knowing all of his dreams were going to come true.
That clip is going to be on Twitter if it's not already by the time you're listening to this. But yeah, the Bucks took Marjon Beauchamp with the 24th overall pick in the NBA draft. Like you mentioned, Ty, they actually kept the pick. And like Adam mentioned, this is the guy I wanted. If you guys listen to the pod where Ty and I talked about his first edition of his big board and then my version of that, I was super, super high on Beauchamp. And it came true. Like Adam said, this has never happened to me. It's not happened to him. It's just, I've never experienced a feeling like this. It's so weird. Like I'm not usually a guy who prepares for drafts. Like last time the Bucks had a pick, they traded it right away. And it was right after they won a championship. So I was like, who cares? Honestly, like what does anything matter? It's like 2 days after the title. And then the last pick was Dante in the first round. Like that feels like eons ago. So this feeling of being able to say, hey, the Bucks took the guy I wanted, I'm going to ride this high for a while.
Yeah, I think friend of the show Lucas Harkins was a huge Brogdon guy, but I don't know if he called them taking Brogdon back then. I don't remember that or not. But otherwise, yeah, I don't think any of us have been like really high, and he was number one, I believe, on your board. Or no, maybe was Coloco. He was up there.
He was one, but then I sort of flipped him.
Yeah, but I don't think I mean
you
I
don't need to tell us that now. Just he was one.
Yeah, he was one. Yeah, you didn't publish your board like I did, which was a foolhardy errand. But I don't think any of us have ever had a guy we really loved before the draft that the Bucks then took.
Absolutely not.
I think the Never. Closest for me was first, Portis.
First win in six. First win in six, I barely mentioned Rashad Vaughn, and they obviously took him at 16 or 17 that year.
17.
15? Oh, was it 17?
17. Yeah, 17. Yeah, that's right. And DJ Wilson was not on the radar that year. No. Thon was certainly not. Thon was, we were like doomsday prepping. That's how we were looking at it as.
Like, I remember being very in on Brogdon, like a lot of people were too. But obviously, no one's sole focus.
Yeah.
No one's sole focus was on the second round pick in that draft. Yeah. So everyone's like, oh, I really like Brogdon. But all of the focus was elsewhere. And then we were dealing with the shock of that too.
It's been a lucky day for me. If anyone plays 2K, I packed Endgame Scotty Barnes today. Oh, just what a day it's been.
The interest level of everyone listening to this pod is just like nosediving right
We're
now.
We're just losing listeners.
Yeah. Back to Beauchamp. So, Rohan, I'll let you start because you're the one who's very, very high. And I think anyone who's been seeing all the clips put out when he was first announced, his phone call with the Bucks front office, it's really hard, I think, not to root. I think Andrew Snyder on playback said root forable, which we had been on air for a long time, so we're all going to excuse that. But Rohan, give us your quick Beauchamp scouting report here.
Well, it starts with defensive versatility. This guy's 6'5", 6'6", with a 7-foot-plus wingspan. He is going to be able to get in to Bud's rotation. He's going to have a chance right away because of his ability to play defense, his ability to switch, his ability to play in different schemes. His physical tools are there. I've also just been clamoring for years now that the Bucks need to take someone with some semblance of athleticism, like someone who can actually jump. Beauchamp is a springy guy. He's got bounce. He's got the length. He's got the physical tools. Sure, the shot is here and there, but I think he has good mechanics. I think he has the ability to maybe develop that through Wing University under Coach Budenholzer. It's an upside pick. I do think it's an upside pick, but he does have a skill right away in defense, which will let him get a chance to see the court, which is big for a guy who's going to be going to a team that has title aspirations. You need to be able to be like see the court to start your development. And he has a way of seeing the court.
Yeah, I think as with a lot of prospects, the swing skill here is probably going to be shooting. His G League Ignite shooting numbers, if you look at either the Showcase or the Ignite Tour, are not great. I think 24 to like 30%, but it's about 30 attempts per split. So like 60 total shots, which is a pretty noisy sample. I know you're high on the way his shot looks. Obviously, we've seen one player develop a good three-point shot with the Buck. We've seen a lot of players seem to, and then maybe not so much. So hopefully that goes a little better with Beauchamp. But I think really the interesting thing for me is, despite him being an older prospect, I think he will turn 22 before the season starts. I do think it's kind of a intriguing upside-y pick still. Like, I don't think Beauchamp is close to a finished product yet at this point. And it does make sense that he's an older guy. I mean, that's just what John Horst does. I know, Jordan, you outlined this a couple weeks before the draft, that they've never taken a teenager in the Horst era, which probably means they never have ever. Maybe. I'd have to look. But they infamously didn't want to, back in the 90s. But anyway, I do think there's a fairly wide range of outcomes. I mean, you never want to extrapolate to the 100th percentile, but I do think close to best case, Beauchamp is a very good player. And even if he doesn't turn out, he's a defender, we'll see. But I think the shot is just going to be really important for him. As, a guy like EJ Liddell, even a guy like Walker Kessler, I think all of those players, to some extent or another, that was going to determine their long-term ceiling, just because we know with Giannis long-term, hopefully, on the Bucks, you kind of need guys who can shoot at least a little bit to be ideal fits with him.
My concern is Deshaun, because if Deshaun's not there offensively, there are definite challenges. I'm struggling. I'm definitely most down on it. And I'm not down on it. I said going into this draft, I don't think there's any player where I'm just like, oh, I hate that. This isn't the kind of upside I would have liked to see. I don't feel like this is a big swing, because in part of this is just how, as we said, how Horst does things, what Bud likes. Like, this is a plug and play now guy because of his defense and because that's how Bud evaluates rookies, like almost solely on their defense. If you want to get minutes, you want to get a chance to develop, you've got to see the floor defensively. And in that regard, this is kind of Dante-esque in terms of the ability to get on the floor early. Hopefully he's healthier than Dante was in early in his tenure, but the chance will be there to earn Bud's trust if his defense is up to the level that it's widely being kind of advertised to be. The shooting not really being there. I know the sample is not all that significant, but I would like to see some positive signs of that pretty quickly, because his passing is not really there at all. Doesn't look like he is much comfort with the ball in his hands. He is very, very dangerous in transition. As Rowan has pointed out, he's an exceptional athlete, the kind the Bucks haven't drafted in a long, long time. So there will be points for him in transition. There could be some fun opportunities for him to get out and run with Giannis. But something else is going to have to pop offensively for him to be like a really meaningful long-term piece for me. Like, unless he's all defense, kind of
solid cutter,
all defensive too. Team guy, solid cutter. Like, he's got to be able to move off ball, but you're gonna in the NBA that gets so much tougher though if he doesn't have any gravity with his shot. Like, if teams aren't gonna respect him with the ball in his hands or moving off the ball as a catch and shoot threat in the corner, it gets a lot more difficult. I mean, his moving would have to be absolutely exceptional. So
that's
the thing I'm gonna be looking out for. And we talked about this on the playback. I mean, one thing that kind of all draft evaluations of him made note of, and I do think it's fair, G League Ignite is not the ideal spot for someone like him to get a chance to showcase what he can do with the ball. So maybe the Bucks feel like and saw in workouts that there's some more there that he didn't really get a chance to show off because of the players he was sharing a team with, and because of the kind of uniquely weird environment that G League Ignite offers to prospects. So maybe there's some more there we haven't seen, but it is going to be something that, you guys know I hate Summer League, but I will be tuning into Summer League and I will be interested to see what he looks like beyond being an athlete, particularly in that setting where they will probably ask him and entrust him with a little bit more than they will a lot of other guys in the roster. And it's like, okay, let's see what he can do. Let's see if he can show us some glimpses of something to work with, because that is going to be the long-term key if he's to be a real kind of core rotation piece or someone we can really get excited about. But it's not a bad thing to have someone who already that we can be like, yeah, he's kind of got it defensively. I did read in a few things, and it might have been Adam Spinella's video breakdown, that there are some question marks about him as an off-ball defender, and, you know, maybe good intentions leading him to some tough spots where he is a knack for overhelping. That is better than the opposite, you know. That is something you can work with as opposed to someone who's just not really trying. But it's also we see the Bucks have problems with over and over again. So that will be one to watch and see how they are in that one out.
Yeah. To the point of like his shot and just kind of his overall game, I mean, this is not a like for like here, but I remember me, you know, wishing the fullest outcome, fully realized outcome, but when the Bucks got Pat Connaughton, hang that jersey in the Raptors, get that merch today if you can at gspnstore.com. But I just remember thinking he's not a, you know, his shot wasn't all that ready in the three seasons he played at Portland, and largely that was down to one season. Super athletic guys, we've obviously come to know. I do think there is something to the fact that he is very, it's not that he's polished in terms of like being able to score without the ball, because obviously if you can't shoot particularly well, like come playoff time, that's going to be a glaring hole. But the fact that you get used to not having the ball in their hands and you're excelling in transition, can find those, you know, weak spots on the defense, just score really high efficient shots like that. That itself is a useful role. And like, we've seen it when, how many times have we come on here and talk about Bucks playoff games or games that just kind of just didn't go their way and they managed to pull it out, or they, you know, lost or whatever the case may be. Like, it's, we saw PJ Tucker struggle games on end to not hit shots, but still make his role out there, whether it's, you know, just scrounging for loose balls, rebounding, obviously playing on-ball defense, taking on the tougher scorers. I think ultimately where I come down with the pick is that, like, it's to Rohan's point, it's a different flavor that the Bucks just have not had on their roster. Like, we look at how much Wes not saved their season, but saved their wing rotation.
Might have saved the season, honestly. I mean,
especially in the context of not having the PJ like type guy,
not having that guy, then losing Pat for a month, then losing Chris for the most Chris of the playoffs. I mean, yeah.
We forgot about it, and who knows how you would affect it. Even losing someone like Bembry mid-season, like the options,
Race
and
was in and out.
Going back to like Rodney Hood not working out, all of those kind of things. Rod. It's like,
Shemmy.
Well, like, I didn't want to bring that.
But it's the truth though. Like,
a few days from now, the anniversary, we'll talk about that some more, I'm sure.
But even we talked about it during the championship, like. As much as like Wayne University is such a big staple for Bud in Atlanta, like it has been a revolving door largely in Milwaukee. Like Pat Connaughton, that we thought was, you know, after the Miami series, like he can't guard Duncan Robinson. He's struggling to, you know, cover a structure like that. Their careers have completely turned and as it turns out, but like they just haven't had that like stable wing rotation where you could just kind of like turn to and all that stuff. And obviously I know we talked about it on Win Six this week, like, Horace specifically mentioned that they were a wing short during the playoffs. So they go out, they get a wing. And he may not be the snuggest fit next to a guy like Giannis or obviously Chris, like all that stuff, but he knows how to play without the ball in his hands. And if you're coming to Milwaukee, you're not going to be asked to, you know, produce all that many possessions with the ball in your hands. So from that standpoint, I think there is a little bit of a fit, and he obviously has NBA-ready skills. It's just a matter of developing that shot, and, you know, Dante was what it was. It was obviously very up and down, but Pat is the perfect developmental model for Beauchamp to really follow, honestly.
Yeah, and I think
they're not going to try to make Beauchamp a point guard like
they did with Johnson. Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, if you talk about Wing University with the Bucks, and it hadn't translated as much. I think Pat is – clearly the Sterling example, and I wouldn't throw in Chris because he was pretty much a not finished product, but certainly a developed product by the time Bud got to Milwaukee. But who have they had to develop at the wing since
Sterling,
Bud?
Sterling and Sterling. Nora are the only two guys who I think, like, credibly, you can be like, maybe they could have become something. Like, I like Sterling. I like Sterling early on. I think Sterling could have been more than he has. And even Sterling,
he's moved
on from the books. He's an NBA player, and he has moments where people get excited and are like, hey, Sterling Brown's pretty good. Wara, well, the book hasn't been fully written on him yet. I think we're going to see very shortly when he moves on to a new team. Maybe there's a different version of him. But
still playing pickleball.
They're not going to throw him out in the street. It's not going to be like, here's your stuff.
It's outdoor
your locker.
Pickleball,
like,
courts, though.
Well, okay, fair enough.
I played there last week. It's a great court. It's a great court. Scott Foster was not there.
It haven't had prospects. They haven't had picks. They haven't made good use of the picks they had.
Nope.
And they've been dealing with scraps of free agency by the spots it comes to it. So there haven't been too many chances to develop guys like that. Obviously, I actually forgot Dante there as well.
I would say not a wing, though. And I don't
think
he's not a wing.
Is there a mistake?
Yes.
Yeah, organizationally, is there a mistake in how they developed them?
I think
but
yes,
that's,
for sure.
But I wonder, too, like, and that is part of, I don't know where that starts with the Horse vision and ends with the Bud vision. In getting into pass, dribble, shoot, it's like they've been asking every player, in theory, particularly drafted players, prospects to come in to do some stuff with the ball, where sometimes it's just like, hey, how about don't get that guy to do anything with the ball? Like, let him catch and shoot when he's passed to. Let him cut and get the ball like right at the rim and get some simple points. But there is this desire to always make a little bit more out of it, where sometimes I think they just be like, this guy's strengths are this, it's very clear, and we're going to play to that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I think overall, I'm really can't wait to see him play. I mean, Summer League is Summer League, but I want to see him play with the Bucks. I think the thing about Beauchamp that's interesting, and you could view it as a positive or a negative, because of his unconventional journey, he's never played with a quality team before in his life. The Ignite, they're a team, yes. They shot below 32% from three in both aspects of their season. It's cobbled together, right? It's for the draft. I think it's successful in what it wants to do. They've gotten a lot of guys drafted, but he has not played on a true, good, professional-level team that has like things like, I don't know, spacing, a true offensive flow, that sort of thing. So Summer League will be interesting, but I really want to see him play, like, what does he look like in preseason with Chris and Drew and Giannis out there? And I hope we'll see some of that, at least in preseason. We'll see about rotational role in the regular season. We touched on this on Playback a little bit. We can get into this as well. But there's a lot of pending free agents for the Bucks. If most or all of them come back, there's really not that many minutes available from the jump for Beauchamp, which is not a terrible thing. I don't think that's bad.
That's a good point to bring up, because I think even Eric Name, he was doing that either a tweet thread or a comment thread, something like that, and just kind of outlined like, this is where the Bucks rotation is at, and the free agents that we, you know, possibly become free agents in Bobby's case. With Pat coming back, like, it's pretty stacked at this point. We obviously don't know if Wes is coming back, but it sounds like there's interest from his end. I'm sure the Bucks would love him back if, you know, obviously at the right price and all the tax, blah, 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 blah. But from that standpoint of like putting that developmental mindset, they have to, I mean, it's on them to groom and develop Beauchamp to their liking. Like, they are at a point where they know their core, they know how it's going to change in the coming years. Obviously, you know, they obviously didn't draft a brick replacement, and the future of the big man spot could, you know, very well come down to what happens with Bobby. Even then, you still want to have some cover beyond that, because as we've gone over a million times, like, the drop is such a, you know, key part of the Bucks' DNA. But for Beauchamp, I think that's, to Ty's point, I think that's what makes it really interesting. And kind of like, I don't know, it kind of gives me like expectations of like, after the dust settled with Thon, and just be like, you have such a long roadway of where I thought he was going to be originally. And obviously that changed very quickly, and probably didn't change for the better, say for, you know, one playoff series against the Raptors. But like, if you don't have to ask much for Beauchamp and he, you know, develops and plays a lot with the Herd, or, you know, plays alongside Sandman if he's back, and maybe War, whatever the case would be. Like, I do think there's at least something interesting from that perspective. It all could just be for nothing, and we're talking about another draft pick that doesn't necessarily pan out in the way that we thought. But I don't know. I think it's at least interesting to talk about it rather than like second round picks are like, you know, best outcome.
Yeah, it's just so maybe. Hard, man. It's just so tough to get a true NBA player out of most second rounders. Yeah. Especially, I mean, the last
even first,
but I mean, the last 2 years they've not picked above 45. The last 3 years they didn't. I keep forgetting there's a draft they just didn't pick at all. I always that slips my mind.
That was the year that they traded Tony Snell and you know all the free agents that they had
used their pick to get off Tony Snell, which just sounds terrible now. But yeah. So 4 years since they drafted anyone above 45 overall. So yeah, of course they haven't been churning out NBA players. They haven't. Tried. I mean, they've tried. They haven't seriously tried. They haven't sunk assets.
No, I don't think they have. And
they've kept guys on the roster.
Horsin's availability last week was like he was kind of open about it. Like they don't make secrets about how they feel about picks and how he views the value of a pick. So that speaks to some real confidence in Marjan one way or another.
Yeah.
Like, one thing that I do think is interesting, and it could be a case that we see him in a real team and within a couple of months he, like, takes off and is a completely different player, or that he really looks lost and he has a tough rookie year. Like, I hate the concept of G League Ignite because they don't play a proper schedule and because of the way they're kind of coddled through a season. Like, for all it's talked about the developmental benefits, and it's easy to be like, oh, tonight's a great night for G League Ignite. It is, but a lot of the guys who are getting drafted, not all of them, but some of them would have been kind of in the spots they would have been coming out of high school. Like they're highly touted prospects that people have their eyes on to begin with, but they're not getting reps of having to deal with the hierarchy of a team and of a team playing a set schedule, winning over a certain period of time. That even just if you're an undrafted guy who's young and making your way in the G League, you're going to go through that. And I do think that is something that kind of gives an element to the unknown, which, as I said, could ultimately turn out to be like a big positive that he gets in a more kind of nurturing environment with structure and his game unlocks really quickly. But that is a question mark. And that is one of the more interesting things, because that's the least booksy part of this pick. Because as we've talked before, Horse has gone for like blue chip programs, blue chip coaches. That's been a pretty kind of, along with older prospects, that's been a feature of how he's approached a draft when he has gone and picked
guys. I did not expect them to ever take an Ignite guy.
No, it's in that very article. Like, I specifically wrote, is unlike it.
I specifically wrote like it would feel odd to see if them draft a guy for the Ignite.
Yeah,
just because, I mean, to Adam's point, like I think this round of Ignite players were not as, I mean, Jalen Green went second, right?
Yeah. And they also had Kuminga go seven. They had Kuminga, blue chip prospects last year.
There was another one.
Isaiah,
right?
Joe.
Yeah. But, or not Isaiah Joe. God, what's his name?
There was someone else. We said it earlier on playback.
Yeah. It was those two. Am I forgetting
someone? It was Isaiah Joe.
I thought it was Arkansas. Either way. But they had high profile, you know, recruits. It was years in the making, that kind of thing. So they wanted to try to replicate that, you know, model of success and stuff like that. And it's essentially like a one and done program, you know, Scoot Henderson notwithstanding. And he is, you know, the bona fide guy that everybody looked towards. Like, this is the guy that everybody wanted, you know, the next year kind of thing.
Isaiah Tosh, not Isaiah Joe.
Isaiah Tosh, there we go.
Oh. And also Deshaun Nix, who signed a two-way, I think, did not get drafted.
That's right. Yeah, so I think from that perspective, like, it's not, even though they're trying to get them ready for the pros and stuff like that, and they're playing, you know, the equivalent of NBA players largely on a given night, or guys that have been in the NBA or sniffing the NBA, whatever you want to put it, it's different to apply it when you're playing it alongside Jaden Hardy or Michael Foster. These guys are like, they're trying to have it be a launchpad to pro careers and then may or may not work out. Like
They have CJ Miles, you know, they have a couple of vets on the team. I think the playing environment is
Johnson.
Great. Yeah. But I do think, you know, a big focus for them talking to the Ignite coach this year when they were in Oshkosh, a lot of it is off the court, getting guys ready to be professionals. And I do think it'll be interesting. Hopefully that helps, you know, Beauchamp and all the guys kind of hit the ground running to even if it's not on court. We all know those things matter in the NBA, managing the off court life. And I do think the last thing on that I have, at least for now, on Beauchamp, is seems like a great Bucks culture fit. He said all the right things already. The clip of the phone call when Horst and Bud called him, like you could see they were really happy, not just in the way of like, oh yeah, we would have picked him first overall or whatever idiot things GMs say after drafts. But like you could tell they were genuinely happy to be the ones taking him, and he was crying on the phone. It was really cool. So I think
Bud went for dinner with him. Yeah, right? I can't remember who was a reporter though. Was that Eric name?
I think
Milt Newton said it, right?
Yes.
Jake Weingarten, too. Jake Weingarten was on it earlier in the week that Beauchamp worked out with the Bucks not once, but twice.
Twice, yeah. So two workouts and dinner with Bud. So clearly they were very interested. And I think I'm sure that dinner with Bud is picking his brain on how it will fit on the court and also the off the court stuff. So clearly this was a player they really went through. They really made up their minds and said they wanted him in the building, which is exciting in itself. One of my takes on this whole draft that I first started thinking about when they talked about trading up, which never really expected to happen. There weren't that many crazy trades in general. But if the Bucks either trade up or sit on the pick, it probably means they really like someone. And that's kind of exciting in itself just because we have not seen them draft many players, quite honestly, at least in the first round, players with a higher chance of panning out. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you don't want to judge Horst entirely on one draft pick, but this is kind of a big one in determining how well the Bucks do using their first. I think they've gotten both of their firsts right. I think overall they've done a pretty good job drafting when you acknowledge the picks that they've used. Dante is not a bad result at 17.
It's honestly the average outcome.
I think it's probably better.
I'm just thinking about DJ.
If DJ was bad. But DJ was like, I think that's a low-end 17th overall outcome.
DJ's more egregious based on who got drafted afterwards. You look at guys like John Collins, who doesn't get traded again because they, whatever.
17 is a tough spot. It's a tough spot because it's right in the wheelhouse of where if you got a really good run and you were there 4 or 5 years in a row, you could come away with a lot of really good players.
Yeah.
But you are approaching the crapshoot area where,
I mean,
if you get it wrong, you get DJ Wilson.
Right post Lotto that year, Justin Jackson, Justin Patton, two former Bucks, DJ Wilson, TJ Leaf. So it's like a bunch of blech. And then John Collins, and then Harry Giles, Terrence Ferguson, Jared Allen, OG Anunoby, a little mini heater, and then Tyler Lydon. I can't even pronounce the guy Orlando took's name. It's such a...
Like, here, so compare that to after Dante got drafted. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Lonnie Walker, decent player.
Yeah.
Kevin Herter, decent player. Josh Okogie, Grayson Allen.
Okay, maybe we should stop with the Dante ones.
Chandler Hutchinson, Aaron Holiday. Like, Anthony Simons, decent guy. But
Anthony's good, yeah.
Robert Williams is stuck to 27. We don't care about that.
Like, Dante is not in the upper end of the outcome guys.
It's not bad, though.
It's around half. It's around halfway between that list.
Like average.
Yeah. I mean, he started on the team that he would have started on the team maybe that won the championship. Like, it's a pretty good outcome.
Look, I'll give Horst has earned so much credit, and we've given him so much credit for so much. I'm not giving him credit for his drafting unless
I think it's more fair to
criticize. Marjon's the guy. I'll be singing his praises.
I'm not giving him credit for drafting. I think Dante's career trajectory to this point is the average outcome of an NBA player.
I don't think we have evidence that he's bad at drafting. We have evidence that he has a bad attitude toward drafting is more fair to say.
Yes.
Because he just hasn't done it most years.
We've got a signing for Shams. Mississippi State's Iverson Molinar of Panama has agreed to a free agent deal with the Milwaukee Bucks.
And Milwaukee's Michael Foster is a free agent deal with the Sixers. So this is probably camp, I would guess.
Yeah, it's got to be
Camp,
Exhibit 10,
maybe
right?
Summer League.
Yeah, I mean, Summer League for summer. They've been usually saying Summer League, so maybe it's a I mean, quote unquote full, but maybe it's an expected camp invite.
Exhibit 10. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Something like that. Do you also about? I tried to make this joke earlier, but I didn't have an opportunity. I'm going to say it anyway, though. Do we think Beauchamp was asking Bud about puzzles during the dinner?
The last piece. One of the all-time great videos. Yeah,
was it worth it?
It is so good. That was a good.
I'd forgotten about that.
His giddiness when he says that the last piece, like it's like. He's either saying that about like a wine that he just uncorked or like.
Oh, I was going to say, it's a good job. Good job, Mario Jones 21 going for dinner with Bud because you got to play to.
Maybe that's
interest.
Why they draft older guys. If
maybe
you can't,
that's why. They've got to be able to go for dinner with Bud.
If you can't get wine with Bud, you're
you
not going to make it.
You can't
it.
Be a part of the champagne celebration.
That's
you know?
Exactly. And they're sticking to their guns. Molinar is 22. And the player they drafted with the 58th overall pick, Hugo Besson is 21. So another guy they could have. I think he's still in New Zealand maybe or France, but also wine.
No, he was in New York. Yeah, he came down the stairs.
So that's interesting. So I saw somebody, it was an article that was kind of confusing. I couldn't tell if it was him or somebody else took a selfie with Adam Silver. I haven't seen the picture clearly, but I'm interested to see what happens there because I know there was some rumblings that he's a potential stash player, but if he's in New York now, that does seem less likely.
Look, we had a few minutes between ending playback, starting here. What did I do? I went and crunched some Hugo Besson tape.
What are your thoughts?
There's a flare-off coming.
It really
is. Luca Vildoza, Hugo Besson. They're going to go head-to-head to be like, who could be the most spectacular international guard on the books next season? I say who could be the most. It will also be the only one. But he can do some stuff, honestly.
He seems like the bucket-getter version of Luka.
More flashy layups than flashy passes, I would say. So, but he has that there with him. Nice highlight reel. I'll do some kind of deeper digging before Jordan and I speak with Lucas tomorrow. But above kind of on most people's big boards seems to be 10 to 15 spots above where the books got him at. So there is a sense that he may be in value. You're saying he's in New York. Well, that speaks that too. Obviously, he thought there was a chance that it was worth his while being in New York for that. Kind of an interesting player. And curious that the books... once I start to watch them, I'm like, huh, they are trying this. And we know their problems with backup guards. They've got a type right now. They're trying to work this one out.
They're listening to GSPN.
They want to entertain, and I can get on board with that. Like, he is an exciting prospect to me. I feel like I'm a parody of myself, but... Go watch a few minutes of Hugo Besson and everyone's like, oh, okay. Like, if this guy's in Summer League again, that's going to be fun. And maybe, like, with Luca, maybe they're like, you know, Luca's great and all, but you know, be better, 21-year-old version of Luca. Let's go for that.
Or why not both?
Why not both? You're speaking my language now.
To clarify, I don't think we mentioned this. The Bucks have acquired that 58th overall pick that they took Hugo with in a trade with the Denver Nuggets, allegedly.
Pacers. Indiana Pacers.
Why did I say whatever?
Because it was originally Warriors is what it was reported as and deleted, but it was the Pacers.
Yes, that's
the
right.
Pacers. So where did I get Nuggets from? Whatever. The Pacers. And the terms have not been disclosed yet.
And John Horst refused to speak about it as press conference.
Well, because he can't.
Unofficial. Yes, exactly. He doesn't want to lose next year's pick.
They've already taken it. And someone asked him a question, and he's like, what, you consider talking about this? No. No more picks.
Does anyone think NBL owner Chris Middleton could have talked to New Zealand breaker Hugo Besson?
Is that tampering?
No.
Is it the same team?
No, it's not. I thought it was.
That'd be awesome.
There's a Eurostep, former Eurostep guest, former member of the books organization, boots on the ground in the NBL too.
Champion Chase Buford.
Yeah, I'll have to hit him up.
And former Herd player Jalen Adams.
Yeah.
RJ Hampton also played for the Breakers when he did his NBL stint.
Former Buck for about 4 minutes.
That's right. And then he threw the hat when he was on video.
I never remember these things, but I know Jordan always will.
So I don't know why. Again,
Jordan will never forget these things.
So draft night, it's always tormenting things.
I'm trying to find an ESPN big board, but they're all like best player remainings at this point. But Hugo, I saw my eyes were raised. He was included on KOC's big board, which is noteworthy because it only went to 50. He was in the 40s on that, so to get him at 58 is interesting. Vecini had him right. I think Vecini had him 59, so kind of dead on. But still, I mean, you're
47 on KFC's big board. Yeah.
You're seeing players, you know, picked ahead of him that were like damn near 100 on Vecini's board too.
So sorry, even... Gavoni had him mocked to the Hawks at 44.
Wow. So yeah, a couple of 40s grades. So that's, you know, obviously anytime you draft a guy at 58, far from a sure thing, but it does seem like, you know, a chance that he's an interesting player, still pretty young, can score the basketball. Kind of the opposite of, not the opposite, but kind of different to Beauchamp in that I don't think he's a certain defender, but an interesting gamble to take. And I like the swing here for sure.
Well, do you want to share KOC? We were having some fun about KOC's comps.
I don't know if I do.
One of KOC's comps for our friend Basson is Bogdan Bogdanovic.
We're going to lose him.
What more fitting way? John Horst, I was like, out the playoffs. Like, is he buying the final pick of the draft purely to like give the fingers to Adam Silver? And then he goes and picks a guy who's getting Bogdan Bogdanovic comps? Well, maybe it's meant to be.
Buys the pick in the
maybe,
draft.
Maybe
he
he's
loses.
The final piece, Rohan. Maybe it's Hugo Basson.
Maybe.
The Bogdan Bogdanovic we all wanted all along.
Yeah. I'm already thinking of Hugo photoshops from that Marty Scorsese film.
Hugo? Nice.
It was called the Hugo. The Hugo. I don't know why I said it like that. Like an old man.
It was not called the Hugo, but I look forward to those ideas, Jordan.
The trade for Hugo, reportedly, is interesting. I wonder why they can't, because there's a bunch of second round trades that have already been confirmed with the league and the NBA lists them on the page. What are the Bucks giving up that they can't do it yet? You know what it is?
League calendar.
The cash.
You're buying. Yeah, it's the cash.
The cash. They have none left because of Yorgos.
Yeah. Oh, true.
That's it. Yeah. Good call, Jordan. I was thinking, are they waiting
for
some cash?
Third straight year that they have made a draft.
The last
trade with the Pacers.
And the second straight year they got. Yeah.
I'm not Brogdon. Obviously, last year with the switching of like, was it 3 seconds, right? For whatever pick that was?
31 for 54, 60, and a future second, I believe in 2025.
Yeah. So there is a relationship there with that front office and the Bucks.
Two straight years they've gotten the last overall pick from the Pacers. 3 straight years they've used the last overall pick in the draft, which is pretty weird.
Very weird.
But yeah, it must be cash.
To so buy probably, it too.
Yeah, they're probably just sending cash and they have to wait until July 1 or whatever it is.
There's got to be some money laundering going on between the two teams, right? Like they just keep sending money back and forth.
Like a cluckery situation is what you're talking about?
Keep it quiet until Pat's next deal is signed, sealed, and delivered. We don't want anyone looking into that. But it does stink because otherwise we'd get some horse
stuff. They're buying real estate with this money that's been sold.
We're leaving it alone, Adam. You're making
putting people's names.
Concert venues.
We don't get any horse thoughts on Hugo, which is too bad. He's speaking on Beauchamp right now and just on the G League in general. Some interesting thoughts on wings down there and the play style. But we won't get any on Hugo. And I don't know if we probably won't get any on Iverson Molinar either, which I think we'll be able to live without for now.
Okay, that's a name I just found out is a thing right now. So.
No, I read it out earlier.
No, I know. Like that's when I found out.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure you thought you didn't think they signed another.
No, I've been high on in the last like 4 years have been high on one draft prospect ever, and he is a member of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, he's named after Allen Iverson, according to Wiki.
Nice.
Yeah.
AI, cool. Coaching the Bucks in an assistant capacity, confirmed?
Speaking of coaches, I do have a fun fact.
It's almost 1 a.m.
Yeah, I do have a fun fact. Do you guys know who coached Marjon Beauchamp in high school?
Oh, I was going to say, I know the Ignite.
Jason Terry. I don't know.
No, but close. Different close. Seattle guy.
Jamal Crawford?
Nope.
Gary Payton?
Nope. Brandon Roy.
Oh, nice.
Interesting.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Okay. Okay. Moore, I mean, I'm even Seattle. More. I'm
Brad,
more.
Brandon Roy was supposed to be. He had a lot of success with them. I remember that now.
Yeah.
Well, one. I should say he went to a couple high schools. One of his high schools. I think the one he ultimately graduated from. I believe.
Is that the same? That was the same one as MPJ too, right? And Jonte.
I think, oh, here, notable athletics. It doesn't look like they've updated. Oh, yeah, MPJ and Jonte Porter, yep. And Masai Ujiri, although I don't think he played for Brandon Roy there.
Masai to the Bucks, confirmed? Question mark, exclamation point?
Or the Nuggets, which he actually came from the Nuggets. So
yeah, I was going to say, he's been there, done that.
Yeah. Do we have any other draft night thoughts? I know. I think we mentioned on this pod, you guys are going to dive into the players with Lucas Harkins more. And we just haven't had time to dive too deeply yet, quite honestly. But I think we talked about doing general NBA stuff. Honestly, not that much happened. I mean,
pretty boring night.
Liddell was kind of surprising. Liddell falling as much. I think actually it was Adam Spinella.
Shocking to me.
Adam Spinella had a report last week that the feeling around his draft stock was maybe overinflated. Unfortunately, it kind of struck out that way. But yeah, overall, I mean, kind of a milquetoast draft outside of Banchero milquetoast.
What is that?
MILQUETOIST.
It's always hyped up for all these trades and stuff like that. And obviously, outside of Banchero going number one and John Hammond with an impressive smokescreen that only Houdini could rival.
Well, except that, you know, but most sports books had that. And yet, Woj and Shams doubled down this morning. And I was like, oh. What?
This is going to derail the podcast completely. So, and this is just imagine me as Michael Scott trying to explain how a surplus works. Yeah, that scene.
Yeah, got it.
When all the betting odds are going on and everybody's like, why is it's plus whatever number for Banchero and all that stuff? It's not based on information, it's based on the sports.
No, but it is because,
money,
yeah, right? But why are they making money? When money shifts in a major way, when all the reports are that 1, 2, 3 is chalk, it's because someone has information and they're putting a lot of money on the outcome of number one changing. So it isn't always necessarily based on information, but when big money goes on, it is not generally people just like, hey, I'm going to bet millions of dollars on this and I know nothing about it. Like, there is usually information involved. So that is... I get your point, but there is generally a combination. And in this case, there obviously was. Like, someone knew. Someone has made some money on this.
Coach
because,
Dan.
Well, the lines moved in a major way overnight. Because it was like, the books were saying, like, not B-U-C-K-S.
But, yeah.
The sports books were saying... Oh, it's, you know, it's Jabari 1, Holmgren 2, Banchero 3. Last night when I went to bed, that's all the reporters were saying. And by the time I woke up this morning, it was like, whoa.
It was off the books.
The lines had moved completely. So big money came in. And in hindsight, yeah, someone knew. But yeah, I get your point. But at that level, like to move the line that much, the amount of money that takes, that is not blind betting. And that is not like... thousands of random people betting $5 and $10. That's someone with information.
Okay, because as a gambling novice, I can't discern what is like actual information or sports books saying like, oh, this is like, I don't know, over or under.
The thing with the draft for betting that is different than most other types of betting is there is a correct answer that someone can know.
Yeah.
Like
that's true.
You can have the information. You could know all 30 picks if you knew the right people. Like, and that's the difference between outcomes of other things. So information is definitely there. You're like, I'm sure some people were just like, oh, I like the odds, I'm betting on Banchero, but that's not what moves the line like that. So some few people knew and they made a lot of money off it. And then this morning when everyone saw the line move, you have a lot of people like, oh, well, someone knows something, I'm gonna get on that too.
Props to the Magic, kept the cards close to the vest.
The gambler.
That's right.
We're talking gambling for the gambler. Like, what else could we ask? Yeah.
Got no one to hold them. Got no one to fold them.
That's right. But yeah,
I know that reference.
Because of the commercial?
What commercial?
Never mind. Jeremy Grant to Portland.
Kofi Coburn to the Utah Jazz. Just put that out there.
Would have been a fun two-way for the Bucks.
I would like to
see to see that name on a Utah Jazz jersey.
Oh, the new jerseys as well. Oh God,
they should burn those jerseys.
Nice.
Yeah,
Coburn those.
Yeah, it's 12:45. Does anyone have anything else, or are we?
No, we've been in front of our screens for
long,
way
time.
Too long.
About 7 hours.
It's been a while.
When, no. Not
first summer league game, July 8th.
July 6th, 7th, 8th.
You know, we're asking Rohan for days. Like we're gonna be here all night.
He's just saying every number,
including the one that I originally said.
Don't test the man on days and dates. It doesn't work out well.
That's true.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I'm gonna trust Jordan and say the 8th. That work for everyone?
Hold on, I've got the whole thing in front of me. It's the 8th.
Yeah, I'm Jordan.
6 p.m. on the 8th.
No surprise that Jordan knows the first day of Summer League.
Not at all.
Oh, no surprise I didn't know what day it was.
And I do think, to clarify, because actually I tweeted the thing about the league year for buying the 58th pick and got a question about when that is. It's like next week. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
Like, it should
it's
be
after
finalized.
The moratorium.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
so,
like the first. Yeah.
They should be able to confirm the trade well before Summer League and have Hugo there if they are planning to bring him over. And I think he could actually do Summer League and still not come over. I think that happened last year with Rookies.
Yeah, sure. You can play Summer League and then go back to wherever.
You can also play Summer League and not have a contract, as Sterling Brown did when they traded for his pick.
That's a good call.
He doesn't seem to be on the Breakers active roster at the moment, so that might be one wrinkle to that, is I don't think he has a team, which usually when you stash a guy, they're under contract with an international team for a period of time. So
do we think
maybe I'm wrong on that, but doesn't seem like
maybe two-way.
That's also possible, yeah.
That is also possible.
That'd be a fun two-way.
They don't usually go that kind of route with two-ways.
They did with Mamu.
Well, I mean, Mamu came up through the college system.
And there's no buyout, too, which is what we thought with Yorgos last year.
Yeah. Yeah, then obviously that prevented Yorgos from being a two-way guy, so that should not apply here, which is a lot
of that also is the example that we should not make predictions for how the Bucks are going to work out this part of it.
Yeah, I noticed I'm not saying any hot takes. I'm like, two-way? Maybe? Maybe he's here? Maybe he's not? Those are pretty much the three options. I would not expect a roster spot, but as you mentioned, Adam, we've been wrong on those calls before. I think that's about everything.
That's it. That's it for us. I forgot how to do an outro for a second. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Eurostep Podcast Network. I am now just tied for life with Beauchamp. It's ride or die. It's like... My integrity is resting on this pick.
The more you lean into this, the more nervous I get.
It's okay.
Because I saw Ty do this last year.
Anyway.
And it did not end well. So Rohan Cotty, never known to jinx anything.
I was very worried they were going to draft Kessler because I feel like I'm very tied to him. Adam was way higher on him than I was, but that one I definitely would have paid for. I don't know if I'll get tied to Beauchamp. We'll see, but take it away, Rohan.
Yes. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening. Check out gspn.info for all of our links. Pod Random, and we will talk to you next time.